Guess we'll get going. Get your coffee, sugar. Actually, sugar puts you to sleep. I might have you for 10 minutes and then you'll be out. And what? And more, yeah. I know. Yeah. I wish it did the opposite. All right, well, let's open with a word of prayer and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this session. We know each and every moment counts in your plan, and we just pray that we can see the significance of it and continue to grow spiritually. I ask that you guide us in the Word and also to help us understand what we need to know. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are to... back to Hebrews 13, and we were looking at verse 5, and there's just so much application here, I feel, in this one verse. You know, you've got a lot of concepts that are happening, and the neat thing about it is it has a direct impact on your life, the way you live, the way you do things, the way you think about how you're going through life. And that's a huge deal because that affects everything, right? Your outlook on life affects everything. So if we're not looking at it correctly, or at least from the right perspective, through truth, through the lens of truth, then we'll have the wrong perspective. And we don't want to have that, because as we just saw, there's either you can either live by the truth or you can live by the sin nature, a lie, which is deceiving, deceptive. And those options are very clear and available, but the reality is sometimes we do choose the wrong one. So, and that's why as we were going through this, the verse I thought about was when Jesus told his disciples, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free," or set you free. And it's no different with us. It's absolutely no different. The truth is the one source that we have of freedom that can bypass everything in this world that will make you a slave to it. Freedom is only found internally in your soul, and that's why Jesus told his disciples that, because guess what? They dealt with the worst of the worst in the world. And he warned them, he told them, he predicted it and prophesied it, and therefore he knew what he was talking about, and he knew that their only freedom was found in him, in the Word, so in the truth. And so we need to orient our life around that truth. Otherwise, we'll be a slave to the things of this world. And that's what they really do, don't they? They make us a slave. For example, rejection. You can either be a slave of that circumstance, or you can be set free by the truth of God's Word in your soul. There's two different outlooks there. There's a negative and a positive. There's one that's complete and total freedom and one that is not. And so we've got the options here, and we can do that. And one thing about God's truth that he offers us, and what I love about it, is it's detached from every circumstance in life. It's detached from the physical things. So therefore, it doesn't matter what you go through. What's inside your soul still remains consistent. It remains the same. Of course, we know that we have to grow. We have to continue that input of the truth, right? The intake of the Word. But at the same time, it remains constant. It remains there. It stays there, and God is always available. We know, we see that here. He'll never desert or leave us or forsake us. So when we fully realize and apply His Word, by placing it above and beyond everything else, that's what the application of this verse is. Because you notice you can go definitely two ways in this verse. And so, and the second part of this, actually verse 6, and verse 6 is actually from Psalm 118:6, and here it is. This is the attitude that we need. So that we confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?" Do you see the result of verse 5? This is what man is saying. This is what we are saying. This is what our outlook, our perspective is. Once we have the thinking in place, this is what we're saying too, in our souls, in our minds. This is what we're thinking. So I wanted to look at a few things in this verse, because I think there's roughly four applications in this one verse, verse 6. The first one, you can see it, confidence. Confidence. It's what we've been discussing and what we've been talking about in a different way. Of course, contentment isn't exactly the same, right? But contentment, I think, adds to your confidence. It gives you more confidence. When you're content, you're confident because you're satisfied. When you're content, if you're not at least looking in every direction for everything you don't have, you feel confident about what you do have. You can feel confident about God's plan for your life, and that's surety. That's the confidence that the Word of God gives us. It's that sure effect that the truth gives us to know that it's always in place and that it always applies and it always works, at least when we apply it, right? So this word means to have certainty in a matter. That's what it means, simple meaning, confidence, to have certainty in a matter. And what do we need more than anything in this life? Certainty. There's no certainty anymore. All the certainty is going away. Everything is uncertain. Everything is, well, it's this way, it's that way, it's okay. Everything's uncertain. There's no absolute anymore, right? There's no set standard. Now it's my standard. That you say that's red, I say it's green. What are you going to do about it? Oh, well, that offends me if you say it's red, right? You get the idea. There's no absolute standard. There's no certainty anymore. The Word of God is what gives us the confidence we need because it's certain. There's a standard. There's a bar that we are trying to achieve, number one. We're trying to follow the example that's been set for us through Jesus Christ, right? And the second part of that is, even though we are constantly growing and trying to achieve or mature in the faith, right? We know underneath that the things we're using and applying in our lives are for sure. That's confidence. That's what this verse is referring to. So, rejection, like I said earlier, breeds uncertainty, is what it does. And what we're seeing here is that we have certainty. Not only from verse 5, you can see that on the second part of it, but also the verse 6, it's all here. So, and then here's the second application to make is, what we're saying, the Lord is my helper. That's an application. That's what you can apply at any moment in your life. Who doesn't need help? We all need help. But if you're confident, you can naturally say that the Lord is your helper. This means a helper bringing the right aid in time to meet an urgent or real need. Wow, I'll take that. If you're talking about someone coming in and helping and assisting at just the right time and meeting the need, guess what? We talked about that, right? You don't really have a need, right? If there's a need that is being met continually at the right time, that's what the helper is doing for us. We actually kind of looked at that a while back. Meeting a need, that's what God does. So you have a helper who brings aid at just the right time. And that's a good thing to apply, because there's so often you get into circumstances where you will continually fail the test because you think you need something. Happens all the time. We think we don't have something that we need to pass the test. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. You do have everything you need. Just because there's certain people that haven't come into play or certain people that are still in play doesn't mean absolutely anything. The fact of the matter is that the Word of God is certain. It's not going away. It's not changing with the weather. It's certain. It's truth. That's what truth, that's one of the characteristics of the Word of God. It's true, it's eternal, it's absolute, right? So the helper. And I think this kind of goes back to the confidence, doesn't it? It does. If you have a helper that's meeting you at the door every day with the aid, with the timing, that breeds confidence. There's nothing else that it can do. So it's not what we can do for the confidence. That's a, you know, one of those buzzwords, confidence in this life, right? I can give you a good motivational speech about what you can do to make your confidence better or bigger or, right? Just go on any social media site, you can probably hear a good speech about confidence. But it has nothing to do with God, but it's about something that you can do in the power of the flesh to build that confidence. Guess what? It's fleeting. It's temporary. It doesn't work. It may work for a day, and the next day, you lost it, right? It's gone. That's because it's not rooted in the truth. And the truth is rooted in God. If I base my confidence off myself, whew, wow, gone instantly, right? You may have it for a few hours. You're doing good. Everything's going great. Your body's working for a day. And all of a sudden it doesn't work. You still got confidence? No. It just goes away, right? That's why we can't base our confidence off the circumstances. We can't do it because they're constantly changing. They're constantly up. They're constantly down. They're positive. They're negative. They're, you know, heartbreaking. Depends on what you're dealing with. So we've got to get our confidence from the source, which is the helper. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, this verse is talking about, the helper. And on top of this, did you notice what I underlined? My. It's a personal pronoun or adjective, personal. It's personal. Actually, it's possessive. It's possessive is what it is. What that means is it's not only yours, but it's yours. It's custom. It's a personal thing. This is a relationship. It's my helper. And you can say it's your helper. It's not a collective thing. God knows exactly what's going on in your life personally. And that's why we can say he gives, not only does he give us help, but he makes it very, very personal in your specific situation. What's happening? What's going on? Rejection, not a problem. He's my helper in this moment that I am in. See the difference? You can really get detached and lose sight of the relationship that you're in when you think, oh, it's God. He's up there on his throne and he's paying attention to all these people, but he's not paying attention to me. No, this is your helper. Very, very personal. So we can all call him ours. So the next thing to apply here is no fear. No fear. I'd say that builds confidence. No fear. You know, a lot of people live their life based on fear. I'm not saying they're hiding in a corner. I'm saying that their decisions are rooted around things they're afraid of, are things they're not sure of. Because remember, if you're not sure and you base a decision off of that, that's kind of teetering on fear. Depends on where you go with that unsurety, right? Fear is a sin. And a lot of people live their life and make their decisions based on that fear. They're scared of something happening and therefore they don't do something. Or the opposite, they're scared that something won't happen, so they do it. See, you can really base your whole life on fear. And, you know, you may not, you can miss out on a lot of things, right? Because if you're not confident, you don't realize you have a helper, what are you left with? Fear. That's what you have left, fear. You're very scared. You know, this life can be scary. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. What about death? When's that going to happen? A lot of people are very fearful of death. They live their life based around their fear of death. Their decisions are based around that. evolved. You know, there's a whole lifestyle that goes with that. A lot of people have a fear of losing someone in a relationship. So they base their life and their decisions around that fear. So there's different fears that we have. But the reality is that this one says, I will not be afraid. Not be afraid. No fear. Two completely different ways to live, by the way. No fear. Can you go in that place where you think you may not be as safe as you would normally be? Well, you know, there's certain places that we can all go that may be stupid to go to. I'm not talking about those, right? Don't make a trip to Chicago and run through the neighborhood with a bright orange shirt on. Don't do that. But what I'm telling you is there's going to be places where you will need to go where you may be fearful of going. And it may have to do with family members. It may have to do with people that you're very intimidated by. You don't want to deal with them because you've had problems in the past. That's fear. I'm not saying you're going to get shot up, but there are tests that give us fear, right? There's people, certain people that make us fearful because we don't want to deal with that again, that those old things come back to the front, right? We've already dealt with that. We don't want to deal with it again. So guess what? Our decisions are based around that. Not when you're confident, not when you have a helper within that circumstance that you're dealing with. And we're talking about rejection here, so we need confidence. We need a helper, and we need to not have any fear. Because if we're driving our decisions in our life around fear in rejection, application and passing a test is nowhere near where we are at that point in our lives. And as you all know that, we talked about that, that all these things are a lie. We don't want to live in Satan's deception of his lies. The song, right? Fear is a liar. And here's the fourth one. What will man do to me? That's a big application. That's huge. Because it takes the spiritual and it raises it above the physical. And if we can actually apply what will man do to me, with that attitude, with confidence and having a helper and not being afraid, what can man do to you? Absolutely nothing. I don't care who wants to see you go down, who wants to kill you, who wants to destroy your country, who wants to see you go away. Doesn't matter. What can man do to me? Nothing. God's in charge. Don't forget that. This is referring to the omnipotence of God in this verse. Who has the power here? Well, if we have this attitude, we know who has the power. We've got to make the application, though. The truth is there. The power is there. It's not going away. But see how we can easily assign it to people, assign it to man. Because you know what? If we're living the lie and we're basing all these things off of man, you will not have any of these. Every one of these will be just the opposite. No confidence. You will not think you have a helper. You will be afraid. And you will think man can do everything to me. Those are misapplications of this verse. And guess what? We do that. We all do that. We do. We think there's no help. Think no one understands. No one can relate. And this is going to happen to me because I didn't do this, 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 or this, and you know this is what's going to happen. That's not application. I can tell you that. So, when rejection is taking a toll on us because we have chosen to take that direction, there's actually no excuse for it. There's no excuse for failing the test of rejection after what I've seen and after what you've seen through these verses. Absolutely none. Just have to realize and make the applications, right? And then verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. I didn't know, I thought about excluding this verse, and then I read it a few more times, and I thought, you know what, this is pretty critical. Because after we're talking about confidence, realizing what you have in God, no fear, and understanding that there's absolutely nothing in man's power that is capable of superseding God's power, because that's what the verse is saying, then what's brought up in this verse, and it shouldn't surprise you, that right after talking about all this, that God will never leave us, never forsake us, Paul issues a command to remember, is what he's saying. He's saying remember. He's telling these believers, these are Jewish Christians in the book of Hebrews, he's telling them to remember. This is the... Here's the Greek word. It's pneuma noueo, and it means to recall or to remember or to keep in mind, is what the word means. That's it. Pretty simple, right? And the idea behind this word is not just for them to remember, because, you know, that is helpful, but the idea behind this word is to remember something and respond or make a decision based on what you're remembering and you're recalling. That's what the word is actually referring to. Because we can remember a lot of things, but the point is, what do we do with what we're remembering? We can either go in a positive direction or a negative direction. And isn't that really what application of the Word of God is all about? You're remembering what you've learned at some point. You're remembering it. And you're making a decision based off that memory of what the Word of God has given you in your soul through the Holy Spirit. That's what application is. But what good does it do you if you just remember without any application? It doesn't do you any good. There are a lot of Christians like that, though. They can remember a ton of information, but they can't pass the test to save their life. Everything's falling apart in their life. They remember a lot of things, but they can't apply the word. That's not what this word here, remember, is talking about. I'm just saying just remember it, because that's, you can see what Paul's talking about. He's talking about imitation. He's talking about imitating something. So not only are you going to remember, but you're going to do something with that memory. Now, which is exactly where he's going. Now look what he says next. Considering the result of their conduct. Considering the result. So this means to think deeply or reflect upon the result of their conduct. Consider it. Think about it. Think about how they did it, what they did. And y'all thought, that's interesting. Notice he didn't say just think about their behavior. He said, think about the result. What happened, not of their behavior, but what happened as a result of their behavior. Those are the things that we're considering. I'm sure every one of us can think about at least one thing Roy did. Went through it successfully, passed the test beautifully, and was faithful to no end. That's just one example. The result here means an outcome, an end point of duration. So it's got a couple applications. You can look at the end point of someone's life and overall their life, or you can look at it as a daily basis, right? A test that they went through, how they did things, the decisions that they made. These are the kind of things it's talking about, an end point. It's got both short-term and long-term, both. It's just referring to the results of how they live their life. And, you know, that comes out in many different ways. We can look at it long, short, a specific, tiny little incident. So, you can see what's happening here. And then here you go. This is the second command. Remember was a command. Here's the second command. Imitate their faith. Faith. all this is going back to faith. Back to faith. We just went through faith. And the application of this verse to realize that you have a helper, you shouldn't have any fear, and what the heck can man do to you, which is nothing, all goes back to faith. That's where the verse is taking us. Notice he doesn't say, imitate the people who had good results. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, imitate the people. He says, imitate their faith. That's what he's telling them. Imitate their faith. Faith is what right and good results come through. Remember, faith is that non-meritorious system that God gave us to allow Him to come through us. To allow what He wants to do, His will, to come through you. It comes through faith. It's through faith. Through your life, right? He didn't say look at the... Or He didn't command them to imitate their conduct. He didn't do it. Why? Because it's not from your strength or something you can do. That's not where this is going. He's redirecting them not to the man, but to the object of their faith. That's what he's direct. Paul here is directing them to first remember, to realize, and then to recognize that how they did that, how they were doing that, wasn't anything special about the man. There was something special about the object of their faith. That's what makes us anything that we are. Faith. That's how powerful faith is. Started on one decision. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then all of a sudden, faith after that. Faith, belief. It's just about belief. Imitate. It's a good word. You see the word? To follow as an example or to use as a model. Look to the faith, not the person. And that's why this is saying imitate their faith. Because, you know, we can imitate a lot of things, but we're limited. We're imperfect. We are not reliable. And when I say faith, I need you to start thinking about God's faith towards you. Because that's really what your faith is rooted in. It's not about just, okay, I'm going to strain and I'm just going to believe this. I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to hold my breath and it's going to happen. I'm talking about God's faith toward you. That's what makes our faith one. It's what bridges the gap. That's what makes it complete. That's what makes it truth. That's what makes it absolute and concrete. It's God's faith towards us. And that's an application I think we should make as well. Because guess what it does? Even though we have limited imperfections, a sin nature, we can take His perfect faith and reflect it through us. That's what application is. You're taking truth, you're applying it in your life because you absolutely trust in the one who has faith towards you. There's a gap, there's a bridge that has to be made, right? And it's not because of something that we can do or should do or have the power to do. It's because of what He's already done. It's because of what He is continually doing right now, every day, through Jesus Christ. So... And through that faith, guess what comes through all these things? His perfection, His limitedness, His power, His will in your life. Everything comes through faith. The Christian life is lived through faith. It is. It's lived through faith. Notice that we're not perfect, but His perfection comes through you. That's how it comes through your faith, through the Holy Spirit as well, right? But it takes faith to even apply confession of sin. Otherwise, what's the point in confession if you don't have faith that Jesus Christ died and paid for and forgave and will forgive any future sins that you have? Faith bridges the gap. you don't believe it, you won't use it. If you do believe it, you will use it and apply it. It has nothing to do with God and what He's doing. It has everything to do with what are you doing with what God has given you. That's what this is about. So when you think about these qualities coming through little old me and you, okay, this is pretty big, pretty amazing, right? God's qualities coming through you in this life. And, you know, if you don't know anyone in your life who has demonstrated this kind of faith, Paul is aware and he's redirecting us to the one who all faith is directed. So either way, there's application to be made in this verse. It's not saying you have to know someone who was faithful. It's pointing us to the object of that person's faith or any person's faith, your faith. Despite our failing and ignoring God in our life through sin, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with His faithfulness towards you. That's what makes everything happen. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Yeah, almost when you're reading through these verses, this almost seems to be kind of, you know, randomly placed there. Of course, we know it's not. It's the Word of God. It's perfectly placed. It is. But one thing that we need to understand in the middle of life's changes, uncertainty, and inconsistency is that God deals with us, first of all, in grace, and He also deals with us in a very consistent way. He's telling us how consistent He is. He's telling us how He's talking about the past, He's talking about the present, and He's talking about for all eternity right here in this one verse. That's pretty amazing. And we just got done talking about what He is to us in the previous verses and how our attitude is supposed to be because of who He is. And now He's saying, hey, those things that you just heard, you just learned about Me, it's the same across the board. You know, we've all had friends do one thing one day, do another thing the other day. We do that. We're people, right? We let people down. We don't always uphold our end of the bargain. We're inconsistent at times with our spouses. We're not always able to do things as we would like to do them with our children. We don't always or never the perfect, right, parent or spouse, those things. Well, guess what? Jesus doesn't have that problem. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the application that we need to make. Because as much as, you know, we are flawed and inconsistent, we need this. We need this. This is critical in your life and in mine. It's a must. Because this world is full of what? Uncertainty. So your faith is also rooted in God's immutability. His unchanging nature, that He will always do what He says He's going to do. Always. Always. And He even says, hey, this is who I am. I am immutable and I've always been this way. I didn't just tell it here, I told it here and I applied it to you. And it's going to apply that way across the board. Eternal truths. So your faith is rooted in His immutability. Which means we can apply God's character across all dispensations. All dispensations is what this is pointing out. Doesn't matter if we're talking about Adam and Eve. Doesn't matter if we're talking about the Jews. Doesn't matter if we're talking about now, the tribulation, the millennium, heaven. Here's the verse. God's the same. He's the same. He dealt with the Jews the same way He deals with you because it was the same God. It was the same character. Just because His actions were different doesn't mean His character and His essence were any different. They were exactly the same. Exactly. So He's completely reliable. He doesn't change. He's not wishy-washy. Ooh, thank goodness. We need some that's not wishy-washy, don't we? And if we weren't sure, the verse tells us. So you can see how big of a deal trusting God is. You see how big of a deal it is. And I didn't mention it back in when we saw it, but the word imitate is in the middle voice. Remember it said imitate their faith? The middle voice is saying that it needs your participation. It does. Imitating any faith needs your participation. If you're going to imitate anything, guess what? You have to go through the process of making the right decisions to imitate whatever you're trying to imitate. And that definitely applies to us as believers. We have to be positive to the Word of God. We have to be consistent in the plan. We have to be consistent in the intake of truth. Otherwise, you know what fills the gap? Like that. False. We have to do our part in order to participate. And of course, I think most importantly, be in fellowship. Fellowship. Maintenance of those sins through the confession, right? The filling of the Holy Spirit. So, you participate. We definitely participate. We don't just sit back and watch all these things happen. You know, God does require a few things out of you. You can't just stay on the couch and just hear the Word of God and go through life on the couch. Can't do it. I know some of you would like to do it, but you can't do it. And don't forget about Hebrews 11:6 in all this. And without faith, it is impossible to please God or to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, number one, and number two, that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Two things right there. The first thing is that it is impossible to please God if you don't even trust in what He's telling us to believe and trust in His Word. That's number one. It's impossible to please Him because that's His desire. Remember, God is there, we're here. He communicated to us, and this is what He left us. This is all we have to live in God's plan and to act and to think accordingly, is His Word. So if we don't believe His Word, that is the only thing that bridges the gap of obedience. And that's God's desire, is that not only that we see or hear, but that we believe the Word. That's so critical in the spiritual life. We have to believe what you hear. Or otherwise, you can't please Him. It's an impossibility. And that makes sense. If God is trying to give you something and tell you something, and He loves you and desires that you live this way because it's most advantageous to you, and you don't do it, that doesn't please Him. Because He knows that you're doing something that is not to your advantage. And God doesn't like that. He loves all people. He died for all people. Just because they're rejecting Him doesn't mean that He didn't die for them. So, faith. It's how we enter His plan at salvation, and it's how we continue to apply the Word every day of our life. It's a big deal. You know, we always hear that word or the phrase faith over fear. Well, how about faith over rejection? Same thing. Faith over whatever circumstance you find yourself in. Faith. Faith is the one thing that is necessary to pass every single test that you find yourself in. Where are you looking, or what are you trusting in, right? So the word impossible here is a good word. It means incapable or powerless. You're incapable to please God if you don't trust in who He is and what He says. Incapable and also powerless. Powerless. That instantly reminded me of the Holy Spirit. We need God's power to please God. That's an easy concept. He's not interested in your human power. He's not interested in what you can do. He's interested in what He can do through you. That's how the spiritual life works. I know I got a lot of stuff. I learned a lot of stuff. I got a lot of stuff I can do. God gave you those things. He wants you to use those things, but He wants you to do it through Him. That's what he's interested in. So that's what you are, well, without faith, is you're incapable and you're powerless. That's a pretty big deal. That is a huge deal in the spiritual life. We want to be powerful and we want to be capable. Those are the two things that God wants you to be, right? This is saying that we can't do that without faith. Huge, huge deal. This word pertains to lacking capability in functioning adequately. I mean, who doesn't want to function adequately in the plan? Isn't it funny? You think just the opposite. Well, so many people just think if I just try harder, rely on myself, do my best, and those are all good things. But when you exclude God out of that, it makes you incapable, it makes you powerless. It's about what God can do. So are we taking advantage? Are we going to take advantage of God's omnipotence? Is the real question. It requires faith. I think it should be a desire for every single Christian to want to please God. We should all desire, have that desire rooted down somewhere. I don't care who you are, where you are, what position you're in as a Christian. If you're not listening to church, if you're not interested in God, you should at least have a desire to please Him in something. He died for your sins on the cross. He sacrificed His Son who didn't have any sin. He did it for one reason, for us. So there should be some desire to grow spiritually, some. I just get frustrated when people don't want to have anything to do with God as believers in Jesus Christ. They don't realize what they have. And, you know, God will eventually take people like that off the earth in ways that may not necessarily be to their best advantage. And we love those people. We don't want to see those things happen to them. But when they continually reject. So, you must believe that He is. And so we can be capable and have the power we need to live in His plan. So I think that's a good place to stop. Then we'll come back and we may have actually another class on rejection. We'll see. But you did see there was a new topic. You saw that, right? It's on the horizon. So that's good. But I wanted to take a dive into religion and Christianity. I know. That's what I thought. That's a tough one. But, you know, I think it's needed in our day because the lines have definitely been blurred, to say the least. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions, and I just want to get the truth out there about them. I just want to tell people what this is about, tell people what they need. Don't make up decisions for them. Let them make up their own minds with what they want to do with the information. Who knows? God convicts, not me. So, that being said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for the cross. Without Jesus Christ, we would not even be here. We wouldn't have access to You. We wouldn't have access to that relationship. And Your Word tells us, simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's faith. Everything's rooted in faith. From salvation to the Christian way of life, all You simply require of us is to believe in what You can do and to trust that and to apply that to our lives. And we're so grateful and thankful just to be a part of this grand plan that's much larger than ourselves. We thank You and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.